Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The insert hymn that we sang tonight was in the TLH, but it only had four verses with it in the TLH and a different, more difficult to sing tune. And so Pastor Rafa had brought it to my attention as a nice hymn to sing, and we wanted to add it. And this is the full hymn with the easier tune to sing it by. And I thought, I hope you enjoyed it. It's quite a prayer. It would be a wonderful prayer for your Thanksgiving dinner if you wanted to either sing or just say, as it covers all the bases, right? Anyways, our text tonight is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. I will not reread it, dear friends in Christ. The word Deuteronomy simply means repetition of the law. And it's kind of a misnomer that this book is named that, because the Hebrew name of the book is Ella Hadabarim. These are the words, is literally what that means. And it is a confirmation and clarification of the Mosaic law for the benefit of a new generation of the people of Israel about to enter the promised land. One then can't help but see, when you're reading the book of Deuteronomy, that it's one of its main themes is remembering, which makes it a wonderful book or text for our day of Thanksgiving. Remembering, after all, is one of the themes of Thanksgiving Day, as our government has called for us to stop everything, except watching football and eating, and remember to give thanks to God. Odd, isn't it, that a day set aside for honoring God started with the assumption that God is the triune God, that God we honor is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yet this call has quickly given way to our nation's ever-growing false deity, the trinity of sorts, if you will, of family, feasting, and football, to be followed by the sacrament of the National Day of Shopping for deals. So let us pause and ask ourselves, what does this change say about us? Now, it's not a new change. You've heard me say over and over again the history of Thanksgiving Day, and I didn't want to run through it again tonight. But the date that we celebrated on now was picked for a specific reason. And it had nothing to do with giving thanks. It had everything to do with providing 4 weeks of shopping before Christmas. That's why it was done. Lord, have mercy. So let us tonight, as we have gathered, take a breath and remember the guests will be fine tomorrow. Relax and remember the one true God, and with repentant hearts and minds, give thanks to the only true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. May our focus then tonight and every day be on what God is leading us to remember, what we often so easily forget or just simply take for granted. May He help us not to forget, so that tomorrow, tonight, and every day after, and every day before could have been a genuine God-pleasing Thanksgiving. Let us stop and remember the reasons we have for giving thanks, not just for today, but for every day to God, as we seek always to remember God's previous provisions, His present protection, and His perpetual promises. Moses starts the text. He says, Moses proclaims this message of the previous provisions. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Israel, that is our forefathers in the faith, were in the wilderness for 40 years due to their unbelief. And yet God showed and continued to show His mercy to them for the sake of the faithful. God's provision for His people is given to humble them. Even though He provides for our physical needs, He does so for a reason. Look at the text. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna. That's a lovely Hebrew word, right? It means, what is this? That's literally what it means. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that you might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, from Yahweh, from God. Your garments did not wear out on you. I don't have any clothes that are 40 years old. Do any of you? Maybe some. I think we have a few members that might. Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Oh, Lord, that would be nice, wouldn't it? The older I get, the more that one looks great. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord Yahweh, your God, chastens you. Often our Lord teaches and strengthens faith in us through, and it's a way we don't like, but it's trials and tribulations. We see this often through sudden illnesses or prolonged health problems, family unrest, financial strife, all of which seem to make the holiday so much more joyful. Right? God more directly humbles us through the preaching of the law. All of these are sent to remind us that we are not the ones in charge. These are given to humble us, to remember and to rely on God, who provides for all our needs. You see, whether God provides temporary healing here on earth or makes us wait for permanent healing in heaven, God's name should be praised. As our Lord teaches us, not to rely on our own strength, but on His. That He might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, that which you have to work for, that which you earned according to the fall by the sweat of your brow, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. St. Paul remembered, and so he reminds us of this fact when God answers his prayer to remove the thorn in his flesh. He didn't get what he wanted. He got, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." We, like Paul, can boast all the more in our weaknesses, but we don't want to. But that's done so that Christ's power may rest on us. St. Paul reminds us again in 1 Thessalonians, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. This is our faith. Yet God hasn't left us in the past or calls us to wait only for future as He offers His present protection and blessings. The text, verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways and to fear Him. And we are sent the law not to find comfort or be told to try a little harder, but rather to be killed. The law of God brings death, not life. St. James writes in James 2, whoever keeps the law, the whole law, and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. And while death is our verdict, the Lord protects His children even from death. To those killed by the law, our Lord offers deliverance through His work of salvation. As John records in 1 John, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, our Lord Jesus, whose divine birth and the penitential season of Advent will strive to prepare us for once again, paid our penalty for sin. He paid it at the cross. And in our baptism, we receive what He has given us, His perfect righteousness, as He washes the filth of our sins away and adopts us. And as adopted children, He then clothes us with His righteous robes to be heirs of the kingdom of heaven. This is what Paul writes to the church at Galatia. All of you who were baptized in the Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. You see, and therefore we who have been granted the gift of faith will desire this New Testament manna, the manna of the new covenant, the very body and blood of Jesus, in with and under the bread and wine. We don't say, what is it? Because he tells us. But we do like asking, how can that possibly be? And yet Jesus says it is, and therefore it is. His very body and his very blood in with and under. As Jesus says, it is poured out for many for the forgiveness of our sins. And today we come to God's house and put our overly burdened and busy lives on hold to be served by God. Tomorrow, many of us will be serving a lot of people or a few people or getting served by people. But tonight, we will be served by God. The gospel is given to you and for you. Your sins are forgiven, and that includes the sins in your past, the sins that are present, and even those sins that are yet to come. It doesn't say make them, but it does forgive you. For the Lamb of God has been sacrificed. Atonement has been made. We are redeemed. And this redemption gives us the assurance of God's perpetual promise. The text continues. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hill you can dig copper. When hearing this description of the promised land, is it any wonder why some American founding fathers thought that America was that promised land, the New Jerusalem, everything else that we wanted it to be? Just look around at all God has provided. But this is not as good as it gets. Thanks be to God for that. As God's forgiven people, we have heaven as that good land. A land in which we will lack nothing. So the believer looks forward to the day when the King, that is Jesus, will say to those on the right, come, and you are blessed of my Father and receive the inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So may we always remember that God's people are freely, fully, and forever forgiven, and in faith freely now and forever then, give thanks to God. So the text ends with verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So come again today and taste that foretaste of God's good gifts and see just how good the Lord is as you receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the certainty of your salvation. And knowing that we are God's forgiven children, we can sing thanks and praise. So tomorrow, as our country seeks to slow down and have a little extra time to give thanks for all that God has given us, and I also have to say I'm thankful that more and more stores are deciding to be closed tomorrow, let us remember and seek to be truly thankful, because we Christians not only know the God we thank, who is triune Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we also know to give God thanks for his precious, his previous, and his previous provision, his present protection, and his perpetual promise that heaven is our home, where we will be with all of God's blessed, redeemed, righteous children in a good land that God gives his people. I pray we all have a truly blessed Thanksgiving Day, but not just tomorrow, but every day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.